on. You'd think I'd find that easy, wouldn't you? But apparently not. Good, great. I love coming up to Grace Church. I love your church family. It's really nice to be here with you again. And I love that word about Jesus hanging his coat up in the hall. I always know which members of my family are at home, largely by what's scattered around the floor in the hall. So they could find the hook. That would be, you know, a big advancement, really, for some of them. But it's great when just that sense that Jesus is with you. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And not because of anything we've done, but just because he actually likes hanging out with us, which is amazing, isn't it? So great. Steve asked me just to mention this Worcester School of Theology. It's the best leaflet we've ever done. It's way better than we actually are. Because I found a friend that was willing to do a swanky leaflet, so it makes us look really good. But it's not everybody's cup of tea, but for those for whom it is a cup of tea, just wanted to their cup of tea. Just to mention, we're going to do a sort of New Testament year, 10 sessions over, beginning in January, going through 2020, and we're going to have a look at all of the New Testament and some theological themes, and we're going to try and do it not assuming any knowledge and too many long words. So I think anybody who says they understand the Trinity is probably lying anyway. So that one will make my brain ache. But it'll get easier because I'm doing John the second half of that morning. So we're going to do Matthew, Mark and Luke. I'm going to do John a different week. We're going to do the story of the first chapter of Acts and bits and bobs like that. And alongside that, we're going to do some theology stuff. So what about the end of the world? What about holiness? What did Jesus do for us on the cross? That kind of thing. So if that's your cup of tea, then there's a website there somewhere, and if you click around long enough, you'll find that you can book if that's of service to you. If it isn't, then stay at home and have a lie-in and nice breakfast, and that's fine. So anyway, I've been asked if I'd talk a little bit about the church being a body and the Holy Spirit working amongst us. So I'm going to do what I'm told for once. And if you've got a Bible, we're going to read a few verses from Romans chapter 12. Then a bit later we'll read some from Corinthians chapter 12. Is that all right? So Romans chapter 12, Paul's talking, and he says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters," because he's talking to a church, and the church is a family, "in view of God's mercy," so in view of all that Jesus has done for us, his life and death and resurrection, "offer your bodies, your whole self, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That's true and proper worship. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though we're many, we form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully." And then he says, "love must be sincere," and so on. And so we're believers. We're all together in a church family. And this passage is relevant to all of us. He says in verse 3, "I'm speaking to every one of you." Now, some of us, we're all different. Our backgrounds, our temperaments. So some of us exclude ourselves. Do you know what I mean? We think, "Oh, I can't be part of this," you know. But he says, "No, I'm talking to every single one of you." And he says, as we think about ourselves, he says, "I want you to think with sober judgment." What does that mean? Well, if I can use this as an illustration, twice in my life, I've absolutely known that I'm killing it on the dance floor. I mean, John Travolta had nothing on me. I got the moves like Jagger. Well, maybe not. And then, but both, the truth is this. Both times, they're both at weddings. I think, no, one was a party, one was at wedding. Both times, I woke up the next morning and I realised, whilst I wasn't drunk, I'd had a wee bit too much. And you know, when you have a wee bit too much, your assessment of yourself is not accurate. Do you know what I mean? You think you're wittier than anyone else, you think. And so my judgment wasn't sober. The truth is, I dance like a tree. You know, I can move the top half, but it's not always coordinated with the bottom half, which stays basically rooted. That's how I dance. I can bang a drum in rhythm. I've got a bit of rhythm, but I don't move necessarily with what's going on in my head. So that's not me. That's not sober judgment. And he's saying, look, don't think too highly of yourselves in the church. Don't think too highly of yourself. Actually, most people have the opposite problem. They think too lowly of themselves, but both are a problem. If a person thinks too high and mightily of themselves and their contribution, that's a problem. That's not right. Because actually, we're a body and we need each other. On the other hand, if we think too little of ourselves, Then we're always backing off and we don't make our contribution, do we? People don't find out who we are and what we've got to offer. So both ways are a problem. And so he says at the end of verse 3, he says, yes, think of yourself soberly, but in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to all of you. There's a distribution. God has handed out what he calls faith here. He's handed out a measure of faith, and we can use who we are and what God's given us to grow ourselves, to grow other people. It's important we use what God has given us. Not to write off what we've got. Jesus talked about faith once, and he said even if it's little like a mustard seed, you can sow it and it grows into a great big shrub. So he's saying, use the distribution. Whatever faith you've got, you might feel, actually, I'm a man or a woman of teeny faith. I've got minuscule. Where's my faith? Let's get the microscope. Let's find it. I've got little faith. But he says, even if you've got a little faith, if that's been given to you by God himself, then it's precious, isn't it? So you might think you've got a little faith, but it's a gift from God. So he says, think of yourself, yes, soberly, not too high, not too low, but think of yourselves with faith. I don't know. It's worth asking yourself, have I got a bit of faith for myself? What does that mean? Have I got a bit of faith that God himself loves me, that he cares for me, that he's given me something that I can offer to someone else? Jesus once said, even if I give a cup of cold water to someone, you'll get a reward for that. So we've all got something to offer. You might have a cup of cold water ministry. That's okay. You might have a hand on the shoulder. You might have a tissue lending ministry. You know, there's all sorts of things. Sometimes a hand on your shoulder is all you need, isn't it? If you're grieving and someone puts a hand on your shoulder. That's one of my favourite Sunday mornings down in Hope, was when I lost my best mate, died suddenly. And I came in late because I didn't want anyone to ask me how I was. I don't know if you've ever been like that, but I can't cope with all that malarkey. I'm going to come in late, sit on the back row, go early. I was in that, and I'm leading the church, but that's how I felt. So that's what I did. And everybody, well, most people like me, so it's all right. So I sat on the back row, and someone came up behind me, my mate Pete Ettridge, came up behind me, and that's all he did. That was it. That was his compassion. That's what he had to offer the body that morning. Do you know, it meant so much to me that, this is years ago now, it must be about 8 years ago, it's still my favourite Sunday morning. Because he didn't need a lot of faith to do that, did he? How much faith do you need to put your hand on someone's shoulder? But to me, it was what I felt was the love of God. So I sat there crying my eyes out through the whole service and went home again. But I was so blessed because another part of the family had shown the love of God to me. So he's saying, hey, you've got a measure. Little measure, big measure, in between measure, doesn't matter. As we'll see, you don't compare yourself with anyone else, but think of yourself with faith. That's really, really important. My prayer today is that every single one of us will go home with some faith for themselves. Not because we're great in ourselves, but because God has given us something. We've all got some somethings that we can bless other people with. Is that all right? And then he goes on to say, and that's from God himself. He goes on to give this illustration. He says, we're like a body with bits. He calls them members. It's a bit of an old-fashioned verse 4. Each of us is a body with many members. It's not talking about like a membership list or an address list. It's not talking about that. It's a body with bits. You know, an arm, a leg, some ears, generously sized. I've got some bits and bobs in my body. I've got a liver. So I won't go into details because I'll get them wrong where my liver is. But I've got all these bits in my body, and he's saying that's like Grace Church. You're a body with bits. I don't know who the appendix is. The arms up. No, I don't know who the left nostril is. I don't know who's got the right hand, the left hand, the left leg. You know, we could sing a song on that, but anyway, we won't. He says you're like a body. Everyone in Christ is in this body. He says in verse 5, we're in Christ. See, it's not like we've got wires and this. When you put your faith in Jesus, that's your viewpoint, isn't it? I put my faith in Jesus. I've learned some stuff. And I said, Jesus, I give you my life. I need your forgiveness. I give myself to you. You can be the boss. But God's viewpoint is, I took hold of Steve and I put him into Christ. So when God looks at him, he sees Steve, yeah, but he sees Christ. He sees Christ's righteousness, which is a relief. You knew what Steve's right. No, we won't go there. So you're in Christ now, every one of us. When God looks at us, he sees us, he knows all our ups and downs, he knows what we've done wrong, he knows what we think and say and do, but he sees the righteousness of Jesus. And he says, in Christ, we've all been put in Christ, we're all so different from each other, but we're like one body now, and we've all got different functions. He says in verse 5, you all belong to each other. Like my ear belongs to me, it's nobody else's. It's sort of stuck on. And that's how it is in the church. We belong to each other. We're individuals, but this person belongs to that person. They belong to you. That's the challenge of church, because sometimes it's a bit uncomfy. And that's the glory of church as well, that we belong to each other. So when one part's upset, we're all upset with them. When one part's yahoo, we're all yahoo together. We rejoice with those who rejoice, don't we? And we weep when people are weeping. That's our privilege, because we're all one body. And he says we belong to each other. And the emphasis is, you know, some people, they're always on about my gifts, my this, my that. But actually the emphasis is the gifts that God has given you don't belong to you, they belong to everyone else. Do you get what I'm saying? It's a bit like a postman. Postman's gifts don't belong to him. He's got to deliver them. So your gifts are for others. Does that make sense? A gift of encouragement that you keep to yourself is no good at all, is it? I mean, you might be encouraged, but it's somebody else who needs that encouragement. A gift of help. I've got a real gift to help people. What do you do? Nothing. Well, that's no help. That's helpless. You've got to actually use that gift to help someone. So your gift, I don't know if you can, maybe you're not sure what your gifts are, or maybe you do know, but your gift is to the benefit of others. As the cow farmer, the dairy farmer said, I owe my success to others. Oh, okay. So you, the gifts you have are to benefit other people. If you can encourage someone, that's to benefit someone else. So we can all do that. We may not have a lot of faith for ourselves, but actually, you've got stuff that can benefit others. Others in the room, others down your street or in the town or wherever you live or at work and all the rest of it. What you've got is for others. We belong to others. And then in verse 6 he calls them, we've got different gifts according to the grace. We won't go into all the Greek, but what the word he uses is gracelets. I like that, not bracelet, gracelet. And we've got little bits of grace. I like that. It's just because it's God that's given them by his grace. By his goodness, his undeserved love, he gives us stuff for each other. And we've all, he keeps using the word all, we've all got different gifts according to the grace given to us. And he does a list of them. then I don't think it's supposed to be an exclusive list. It's not like everything. And I say that because we'll read a bit in Corinthians 12 and he's got different ones there. So it's not like the list of everything in the universe, but it's an illustrative list. And he says some people's gift is prophesying. We had a prophecy this afternoon. And prophesying strengthens and encourages it. Wow, Jesus is in the room. He's hung his coat up. Wow, that's great. That increased my faith. It was really encouraging. He's around, he's here. Prophesying is when you receive something from God which strengthens and comforts and encourages other people. It's not something that you've read in a book. You receive it. You might receive it in the week and write it in a notebook, or it might come in the meeting, but it's a word from God for an individual or a group that meets the need. What God's doing and saying now. Or you might be, it says, serving. That's a great gift, isn't it? It's not up front, but nothing in the church works without people who have gifts of service. What's that? It's getting practical things done that help people. Servanthood. Jesus himself came as a servant. That's a great, it's not an unimportant gift. The very opposite. It's like Jesus gave his life to serve others. Encouraging. When you encourage someone, you put courage into them. That's what literally it means. Encourage. Put courage in. Oh, feel weak. Don't give up. You can do it. Jesus is with you. Come on. It's encouraging. We all need, don't we? We all need encouragement, don't we? How are you going to get it? By someone bringing encouragement. So actually, we all need encouragement. Let's be people who giving. Ask God for that gift. That's a great gift. A gift to encourage other people. Giving. Oh, that's a great gift. He says, if your gift's giving, I mean, we can all encourage, but some people have a gift to encourage. Do you see what I mean? We can all do it, but some people have got a gift. The Holy Spirit gifts them, and they just go around encouraging people. In the same way, we can all give, and we should all give, because God's given everything to us. We just give a little bit back to him and to others. That's easy. But some people have got a real gift. They get a buzz from giving stuff. They have the ability and the desire to just give out of proportion. That's a wonderful gift. That's a spiritual gift. Leading. Some people can't help themselves. So they sort of just are at the front. They look around and people are following them. That's a spiritual gift. It's an accident. But it's a spiritual gift. Showing mercy. I love that. You know, there are some people who see a need and they just, compassion drives them towards meeting it. Do you know? That's a Holy Spirit gift. It is. You look a bit doubtful. But it is. No, you are. Good. Bit of a nod. That's great. And then in Corinthians it talks about faith. What's that? It's a supernatural enabling to believe that God's going to do something. It's beyond the natural. Beyond what you could expect. You're just knowing your knower. I don't know where your knower is located. It's not in your head. It's not something you've worked out. It's somewhere in there. You just know. I've got faith. Sometimes that's alongside things like, he talks about gifts of healing. So sometimes it's alongside that. I just know if I could get to that person and pray, something will happen today. That's wonderful. Or it might be to do with some other project that you just believe God for. That's a wonderful gift. Gift of tongues. What's that? It's speaking in a language, earthly or heavenly, that you've never ever learned. That's a great gift, particularly when you don't know what to pray next. I'm better at it than I am at English, to be quite honest. So I usually don't know what to pray. So I drive along the motorway just praying in tongues and that kind of thing. Gift of knowledge. It's a supernatural insight. You just know something. Often prophetic. That links to prophecy sometimes. Gift to be able to instruct and teach. They're all gifts, they're just examples, aren't they? Miracles. You know, we had a lady in our church. I might have told this story last time I was here, because I'm getting ancient now, so keep telling the same stories. Did I tell you about the lady in our church that's been on crutches and in a wheelchair for 17 years? I didn't. Oh. Anyway, there's this lady in our church. She's had something myelitis. You know all about that stuff. Inflammation of the spinal column. She's got a big long name. And she's been on crutches and increasingly in a wheelchair for the last 17 years. She she went to a camp this summer. Someone prayed for her, not someone who's supposed to be doing the praying even. She's going in the meeting, they were coming out, and prayed for her. The next morning she gets up and she's completely healed. She's been medically pronounced on her notes now as completely medically cured. That's wonderful. That's a miracle. But that person, I don't know who they were, it doesn't matter, God knows. But that was a miraculous gift. That's wonderful, isn't it? Word of wisdom, that's when God supernaturally tells you what to do. not knowledge, but what do we need to do? Oh, I don't know what to do. And someone has, from the Holy Spirit, this is what we do. You think, oh, great. Now, that's good. That's really practical. That's so helpful. And the Bible tells us to eagerly desire, not gifts that make us look good, but eagerly desire to find out what builds up others. Do you want to build up other people? Don't try and be someone else, whatever you do. I've tried to be a number of people, and I'm rubbish at all of them. They're all occupied by someone else, funnily enough. It's best, just be yourself. Find out who you are, and be a blessing. I learned about an old guy recently who he got stacks and stacks of cards. He had a gift of encouragement, and he got old, and he got crippled, and he used to go around these cards, cut out nice pictures. I think he had a pair of pinking shears, you know, those ones. So he went around these pictures and he would pray for people in the church, and he'd get a Bible verse for them, he'd write it down and snail mail it, put a stamp on and send it to people to encourage them. But that people were so blessed by this guy, and he came out actually after he passed away, what a blessing he'd been to this person and that person, how these verses arrived just at the right time. That's a gift. It's almost secret. Flying under the radar, spiritual gift of encouragement. What gift can we use? Let's desire to build people up. And I read that love must be sincere, because really spiritual gifts work best in an atmosphere of love. That's the motivation, that's the driving force, to love one another. And in, we're going to read a bit in, let's read a bit in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's a couple of chapters on gifts in Corinthians, 12 and verse 14, but in the middle of it is a whole chapter, chapter 13, all about love, because that's the atmosphere that gifts work best in. But chapter 12 of Corinthians, verse 12 and 13, and he's back on the body theme again. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ, for we were all baptized or plunged by one spirit to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one spirit to drink. So the body is not made up of one part, but many. So he's talking here in his ancient days about Jews and Gentiles and slaves and free. What he's saying is, wow, we're different. He's looking out at this congregation in Corinth and he's saying, man, some of these people are Jewish, some of these people come from this nation, some of these people come from the other nation. They're so different, but they've all been made one. And then he's looking at slave and free. So people that are free, they're in other words, in that culture, they were earning money. These slaves, they've got nothing. And he's saying, but these people are so different, sociologically, if you like. Some rich people over there, some educated people over there, some not so educated people over there, some fat ones, some thin ones, some universities, some dropped out of school. They're all so different. They all come from different nations. Some black ones over there, some Asians over here, some Eurasians here. They're all so different, but they're one body. I love it. I love looking at our church. Some people frown at me in our church, but apart from those, I like looking out at them. And you think, only God could do this, because you look around and think, man, we are so different, and it's great. I love it, absolutely love it. We were looking at heaven this morning, and it being a man, Jesus saying he's going to won't drink wine again until he gets to heaven. And I'm thinking, some of these guys can't drink wine, because some of us have a problem with that. Hey, when we get to heaven, we'll be able to have a glass of red wine. It won't cause us any problems, because all that's gone. And all the people, we've got some people that can't walk very well, all those people have had to rush up to the buffet, and they'll be all right. Because so all of that, it's gone. It's going to be wonderful. Where was I? I don't know. Oh yeah, that's right. They're all so different from one another. But he said they've all got the same spirit. And then he goes into a bit of a drama. Paul the dramatist. And he gives an illustration. It's a bit funny. He says, what if a foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of this body? It's the nearest he gets to joking. Sorry about that. It's not Jasper Carrot, but there we are. It wouldn't stop being part of the body. What if an ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body? It wouldn't stop being part of the body. That's ridiculous. What if the whole body were an eye? Where would the sense of hearing be? What if the whole body was a giant ear? Where would the sense of smell be? But God's placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And then he says in verse 21, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. And so on and so forth. So this is Paul. It's all silly, isn't it? But if you get his wacky imagination. Imagine a foot that says, I'm not going to join in anymore because I'm not a hand. I mean, you'd fall over for a start. It's just a ridiculous thing, isn't it? But he's saying, hey, sometimes in church, that's how we are. Well, if I can't be a hand, I'm not joining in anymore. I'm going to sulk. No, that's just silly. But, you know, what it gets to is, you know that feeling you sometimes get in your head, I'm not like them. And I want to be like that, but I'm not like that. So we almost get into rejecting ourselves. Does that make sense? Because I'm not a foot. I feel like I don't, but I reckon, just a theory, but I reckon Satan probably tells all of us, if you're more like that person, you'll be all right. But I think he goes around telling all of us that. He's such a stinker. Technical term. And the truth is, God made you you. Let the hand be a hand, let the foot be a foot. He made you the way he made you. He's given you the gifts he's given you. So God break the lie of that we get told that causes us to reject ourselves. Now be the part of the body he's made you to be. He says, what if the ear says I want to be an eye? What if the eye says you want to be an ear? You wouldn't see where you're going. It's all a bit silly, but do you get what he's saying? It's very real stuff, isn't it? What about that comparing ourselves with other people? You ever do that? I do that sometimes. I think we all do. Compare yourself with others and either reject yourself or else start envying someone else. I wish I was like that. Don't try to be like them. They're probably wishing they were like you. It's a waste of time and effort and energy. Be who God made you to be. It's a process, isn't it? To accept who we are, to have faith for ourselves, to give other people the same freedom, to be who God made them to be. I mean, imagine the whole body being a giant eye. It's like something out of Monsters, Inc. It's a giant eye with a couple of meat. It's just stupid. But it's useless. That think of, I wish I was like someone else. He's saying, hey, what he's really saying is, hey, be at ease with being different from each other. You got there yet? I know. God puts people across my path that especially irritate me every now and again. Does that... I think it's true for all of us. You think, if he says that again, I feel like, I can scream. But God does that. But actually, we need each other. There's diversity. We have to embrace the differences amongst us. And just say, well, thank God that person's got that gift. Thank God that person's got that gift. And they need to say, thank goodness you've got the gifts you've got as well. It's about embracing God's sovereignty in who we are. That it says, goes on to say, God has arranged the parts of the body just as he wanted them to be. So we need to learn to sort of rest in God's sovereignty. Say, you know that children's song? I just thank you, Lord, for making me me. I love that song. Can you do that? Bit of a struggle sometimes for some of us. Thank you, Lord, for making me me. By the way, I'd like to be a bit... No. Thank you, Lord, for making me me. With all my funnynesses, if my wife was here, she could talk for a long time on Richard Thomas's funnynesses, believe me. I've got tons of weaknesses, tons of areas where I wish I was different to how I am, but I'm how I am, with the weaknesses that make me need other people. And that's how God arranges the body. We need each other. We need the gifts that other people have got. And he wants us to have equal concern for each other. No independence. I don't know. I'm not very independent. Some people are very independent. I don't need you. No, that's actually, we do need each other. That's the truth of it. We don't like needing each other sometimes, but we do need one another. I've got some people in my time. I'm a bit embarrassed. I look back. I've been leading our church now about 18 years. And I look back to some of the people that I found pretty difficult because I'm intuitive and I want to do that and I want to do this. And some people slow me down. But actually now, I'm 18 years more mature. Well, maybe not 18, but I'm 18 years older anyway. And I think, I'm so grateful for a couple of people that used to really annoy the pants off me, because actually the things they're good at, actually they fill in all the gaps and all the detailed stuff and free me up to be who I am. That's just something I've learned. So what are we saying about spiritual gifts? We're saying we've all got some. We've all got some. Some of us have got ones that are really noticeable. Others of us have got ones that maybe are a bit quieter. That's okay. Because actually, the bits of your body that you don't see are some of the most vital, aren't they? Is that true? None of you can see my heart pumping away. None of you can see my liver getting rid of the gunk. None of you can see my kidneys doing whatever kidneys do. None of you can see that. All of you know I'm not a doctor. So, so don't worry about whether you're visible, invisible, up the front, behind the scenes. That doesn't matter. What matters is we're a body. And you're a great family. You really are a great family. So enjoy being family together. And know that we all need one another. The important thing is this. Let's have faith that we've got stuff that can bless others. It might be a bit of a discovery for it. What is it I can offer others? It could be, in any meeting, it could be something different, couldn't it? There's gifts that in a meeting, suddenly you have faith for this or a word for that. That's great. But then there are the gifts that you sort of, they've taken up permanent residence. they're who you are. Let's use both sets of gifts to build up the body. Amen? Amen. Can I pray and I'll hand back over to Steve? God, thank you. Thank you for the church that you've put us in. Oh, we're a funny old bunch. I know our church is in Worcester. I'm sure Grace Church, Bromsgrove is as well. Lord, we are who we are. But thank you that in your sovereignty, you've given us the background we've had. We've had the experiences we've had. You've given us the gifts and abilities we've got. Help us to use, Lord, what you've given us and bless other people with it, that the body of the church will be built up. Thank you for these lists of gifts and maybe some on that we've got that aren't even on the list. We ask you that we would faithfully use who we are to give the best to others. Lord, forgive us where we envy others. We're sorry about that, Lord. Help us not to do it, but accept how you've made us. Forgive us where we get drunk and not sober and think we're the bee's knees and despise others. Lord, forgive us that, because we know it's not true. We thank you, Lord, that you've made us us. We pray that we would function well as a body. And where we lack, Lord, then send others along to give us what we lack, to make up the difference. Lord, we ask you that every single part would do its work for the glory of Jesus. Amen. Amen.